I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen.
Hey everybody, Richard Blissbrook here with yet another Road to Diamond interview. And today we have Erin Rogers from Knoxville, Tennessee.
I'm here.
My gosh, I was telling her before our interview, just looking at your stats. Oh, here we go. Here's another phenom, another Young Living phenom. Oh my gosh. 0 to diamond in 10 months.
Mm-hmm. True story. That happened.
I hope you know how you did it, because if you did, if don't tell me, oh, just an accidental diamond.
No. Accidental diamond? Lord have mercy. Has somebody actually said that phrase? That's not okay.
I just made it up. I make stuff up all the time. So, Erin, this is going to be, this is going to be the kind of story and interview that inspires people for years to come, because that's highly impressive. And the fact that you know how you did it is then going to be very comforting and inspiring, because people are going to learn another road to diamond. So the first question I ask everybody to give sort of context to the story is, if you wouldn't mind telling us, who were you, where were you, and what were you doing before you ever heard of Young Living?
Absolutely. So before Young Living, I had two primary careers. The first is that I was a pharmaceutical sales rep for 6 years. And then through a series of radical things, the Lord lifted me out of that career and dropped me into teaching inner city high school math. And I did that for 4 years. And during that time I had kids, and that was a very, very demanding job. It was really hard to have little bitties at home. And things just worked out during that season where my husband and I felt comfortable bringing me home to just focus on the kids for a little while, because I was also running a little momtography business. And truly, it was small. I even jokingly say, if you're one of my clients, I'm so sorry. Looking back now, I realize I was not actually that skilled, but you trusted me anyway. And so I was home with those babies, and really just in a situation where I needed to be bringing in some extra money every month just to, you know, kind of pad our family budget. And during that season, I had, right before I found Young Living, I had a 9-month-old and a 3-year-old, and they just, you know, it was the typical mom thing. Like, nobody was sleeping well and immune systems were like not the best. And I honestly just stumbled onto essential oils. I didn't know what they were other than like at the strange, stores downtown and things. I didn't know like what oils were in terms of like health and wellness stuff. And so I used my little pharma mindset and went old school, and I went to PubMed and Google Scholar and read the studies just to find out if it was legitimate. And when I found some stuff that gave me confidence that they might actually be of benefit to my children, I wanted to jump in. I didn't jump in right away, because I did not know anyone who used Young Living and who sold Young Living, and I understood it to be network marketing. So,
okay, back up. How did you get introduced to Young Living?
Yeah, so what happened is one of my girlfriends posted a bottle of Thieves Oil on Facebook and talked about diffusing it as a teacher. And I was like, she said, I'm diffusing this in my diffuser. I keep it in my diffuser. It helps me, you know, be healthy all year or something. And I was like, what is that madness? And she was like, I have no idea. My mom gave this to me. She hardly even knows what it is. I don't know. See if you can figure it out. Maybe it would help. And I was like, okay, And that literally was it. And so, yeah, that was it. That was the end of it. I just dove in to researching it all for myself. And then, along came this actual random person in a Facebook group who was a member of Young Living, and she mentioned Young Living, and I messaged her and said, I need your member number to join, please. And so I joined with an actual stranger online, who is not a builder. She's an executive silver rank right now. And so I'm getting to turn around and help her actually, which is really super fun.
I love that. And who's your upline?
Yeah.
Where does she go? So
there's a couple of people in between me, and then the closest diamond above me is Monique McLean.
Okay. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's, not the normal way to get enrolled, but it happens.
I know. And, you never know.
Great story. Mm-hmm. So, but then when we look at your stats, Erin, I mean, you were a bottle rocket of advancements. So how did you get guidance to do that? Who or what coached you on how to do this? Because you'd never done it before, had you?
No. In fact, when I found out that Young Living was network marketing and that was how I had to get the product, I was actually a little ticked off about that at first. Right. But best oils in the world. So I was like, all right, whatever. Just don't ever talk to me about this businessy stuff was my deal. And so when our oils worked for my kids, and really the thing that was my first aha moment was when my then 11-month-old slept through the night. What happened is because I had been doing this momtography thing, I had just been online, kind of collecting communities on Facebook and, you know, pouring into other photographers who were like mom photographers and back and forth. And so when my kids slept through the night, I just went to those communities, which I had been part of for several years, and just said, you know, this is pretty amazing. My kids slept through the night. And the other moms in the group said, what's up with that? And it just kind of took off. And so one of the things I think is so important about that though, is, it's not that I was a rocket necessarily from enrollment to diamond. Yes, we hit diamond in just 10 months of building, and that was huge. But the people who jumped in with me early, like, it's not like I suddenly went out and met all brand new people. It was people I'd been building relationships with for a really long time prior. I just didn't know that I had been networking all those years. So it was like pockets of women from a Bible study that I had led, a pocket from people I had been like linking arms with and encouraging each other in the field of photography, people I used to work with in pharma, people I used to work with when I was teaching. And so I just had all these little groups of people that when I ignited, they were like, let's do this. And so, you know, they trusted me. I had built that rapport and that influence with them over time prior, you know, without any sort of expectation or financial link. And then when I said, hey, this works for us, you should try it, they already trusted me. And so they jumped in there. Yeah.
So it was safe to say it was your enthusiasm for the products that led you to be sort of evangelical about sharing with
people. Totally. So yeah, it was completely product. Now I will say this, I'm a very red driven personality. And once I caught wind of what could be from Young Living, I was like, well, we don't play games around here. If we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And so I knew I hit executive my first month of building. And I knew at that point we were going for royal. There was like no, I just don't do things halfway. So once I was in it, I was in it. But yeah,
we want to look for something in there. Mm-hmm. Which we'll call a defining moment or a tipping point, or all the lights came on. Can you identify something that came externally? I realize your philosophy and the way you're wired is all in.
Yeah.
But did something come externally from Young Living, from your upline, that like opened your eyes or like had you see? Because the way you talk about it, all you really knew was, well, I got these oils and my kids sleep through the night. What did you see about the big vision in Young Living. Sure. But you said, I'm doing that.
The one thing that really, like, to be honest, because I was so not interested in the network marketing side of it, I didn't even know at that point that there were, like, resources. I didn't know that you existed then. I had no idea. I was a diamond by the time I even realized that there were, like, classes and seminars and things that you could grasp onto. And so all I saw was what was in front of me. And so my upline, Monique, when she first touched base with me, I just went to her and I said, I just need you. I didn't know this terminology, but what I was asking her to do was, I just need you to cast some vision for me. And so I just said, hey, I just want to know what's possible and what I need to accomplish each month. So I just need your stats. Like, what did you do month one? What did you do month two? What did you do month three? Really? How long did it take you to get to these ranks? How many people did you have to have by then? How many were you enrolling? And I still have it saved on my phone. Like, I wrote it on a little sketch pad and took a picture of it with my phone. And I still have that saved on my phone because that vision that she let me catch, just, it took off for me. That was what took off. And so the other piece of that though is, we have so many resources now. I'm a huge fan of people grabbing resources and, you know, watching training videos and doing those things because they're there. I think we should use them. These didn't exist 5 years ago. And one of those things I think was really beautiful for me is that I didn't know anyone else was doing what I was doing. Like, I wasn't comparing myself. I wasn't, like, I had this little notepad where I had my vision cast and I just kept my eyes on it and that was it. And I didn't have, you know, I wasn't asking other people, well, did you do it this fast? Or how did, was your last month? And how did you do this month? And how did you, there wasn't a ton of comparison happening for me. Now I know a lot of people love that, but I didn't. I was like, I just need to know what I'm doing. Tunnel vision. All I could see was my team. And I was just madly obsessed with what they were doing. I didn't care what somebody else's silver leader was doing. I didn't care what somebody else's new enrollment was doing. I was just looking down at my people and obsessing over what they were doing. So I think that was a big power play for me, was not to know the periphery.
Right. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all have that kind of, those blinders on?
Well, and they're seasonal. I think we've got to do that on purpose, but right. Yeah.
Well, that's just brilliant that you called your upline and asked for her stats.
Kind of presumptuous, but she was like glad to give it to me. So,
hey, you know, if we could bake that into the culture of Young Living where everybody was studying the stats, mm-hmm. that gives people a roadmap.
Yeah.
And that builds belief. And that's
well,
what people need.
We do that hardcore. I mean, my team has all of my first 2 year stats available. I want them to know what's possible, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. Super, super smart. So once you got to Diamond and now you kind of woke up, okay, wow, this works. How did things change the second year? Like, what did you do strategically or your attitude or your awareness or anything? Like, how was your second year of leadership in Young Living different than your first year?
Yeah, so I actually think that the second year of building was more in tune with how it should be done, if that makes sense. Not that we don't want everybody to like rocket ship out, but the second year, the first year of building, year one, I had a very like, what is happening right here? What can I accomplish in this time mentality? I was very much looking at my goals and my team was a vehicle for those goals. The second year, I had a huge mindset shift where I began looking much more importantly at their goals than at my goals. The terminology, and there really was a shift that was so crucial. I went from I am a diamond to we have hit crown diamond. And so there was just this really, and it took us 2 years to hit crown diamond, which is a phenomenally short amount of time in the scheme of things. Felt like a longer time in the midst of the run, but that mentality shift was so crucial because it from that point on has become so much more about what my people are able to do for themselves, for their families, understanding their goals, understanding why they're driven the way that they're driven, understanding their motivation. And that shift was massive for my people. And so one of the things that I did that year, right after I hit Diamond, and I kind of like was introduced to this community of diamonds at Young Living, and I was like, what is going on here? There are a whole bunch of you, and you're all really nice and friendly, and I don't know what to make of this. So we started talking about celebration and the way that we love to be celebrated and seen and recognized. And Adam Green told me that he sent out rank gifts for his people, and I was like, you do what? And he was like, yeah, I send out rank gifts for all the people on my team. And so 2 months after we hit Diamond, there was just this season. It felt like a season. It was probably just about 2 weeks, but it felt like a huge season of my life where I went through all of our numbers and I caught up my whole team on rank gifts from star rank all the way up through platinum rank. I got everyone, like, so the platinums got a star, senior, star, executive, silver, gold, and platinum gift. Like, I did the whole thing. And so from that, at that moment, I chose to gift your book, For Your Career, to all of my senior stars. So that has been something that we've done for a really long time, is to get good books in the hands of people who need them, just to make sure that those resources are available. And so I feel like that started a shift for our team because it helped them feel recognized, and it was recognized in a way that they were also informed. You know, they were also getting something in their hand that was going to be beneficial for the journey.
Right. Beautiful. So you were telling me before the interview that reading the four-year career made a difference for you.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
Well, I came into all of this a little anti-network marketing. So it's good for me to read books that help to twist that in my mind, because I think that's a common misperception that people come in with. They just don't understand what we do and what we don't do. You know, I mean, they think all of those gross things are the things that we do, and they're not. And so I think when we have the chance to educate people and walk them through what it should be and the way that this is so life-giving, I just think it's a really cool opportunity for people to kind of twist that mindset and understand what an opportunity they've had presented to them. So my idea, like, I know that a lot of people hit senior star. We have huge numbers of people who are hitting senior star because they're working like full time to hit it. And then we have other people who haven't had to put as much thought and effort into it just because of the nature of the beast. And so my thought was always, I want them to have a resource that is intriguing enough for them to like want to pick it up when they just have a quick 10 minutes to browse through, and then it's going to catch their interest to want to read more and see what could be. And so it's been really inspirational. I particularly love the Young Living version and then the women's version. Like, I like having a lot of different options for what I'm sending to people. So it's been really wonderful.
Yeah, I think Kimmy's Young Living version is the most popular in Young Living. So,
yeah.
Erin, most of the people that watch these interviews are stars, senior stars, executives, you know, silvers. And I think it's fair to say that most people that watch these interviews at some level are struggling. They're either struggling mentally, or they're like with their own attitude, their own belief, or they're not sure what to do, or they're not part of a very dynamic leadership system, or maybe they are part of a dynamic leadership system and that kind of intimidates them. Like, they don't feel like there's a place for them there. Would you speak to those people that are watching and think, okay, so some people are going to watch, you know, the moment that this is released, but most of the people that are going to watch this interview are going to watch it a year from now, five years from now, maybe 10 years from now, and they're going to be all over the world. And they're going to have the same questions. Can I do this? How do I do this? And they listen to your story, and you know, stories like yours are surreal.
Oh, for sure.
They're intimidating. And yet, all really people need to do is, you don't have to worry about getting a diamond, and you don't have to worry about getting the Royal Crown Diamond. Really, all you need, listeners, is traction. Mm-hmm. You just need momentum. You need forward movement, because with that, your juices then kind of take care of the rest. Like, oh my gosh, this is working. So could you speak to all of those people that, you know, are kind of stuck?
Yeah. And
get them in motion.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing about all of this. I've been just like bathing myself in all of this lately. Just like, what is it that makes people stuck and not have movement? And you can't get stuck until you've done something, for one. So it's not like you get stuck before you've even enrolled someone. That's fairly unusual. If you're stuck and you haven't enrolled someone, you just need to enroll some people, period. But if you've enrolled some people and you're feeling stuck because your growth isn't what it should be, I'm a firm believer that it's because you don't know how to analyze the numbers of this thing. And so this is one of these things that I've just been teaching over and over in this season, is that I think we have this this fear in our business that the people that we have, for one, that they're not enough, that they're not going to be enough to get us to the next level. And they're in and of themselves, they're not. You're going to always need growth. But I think that we have this mindset that, you know, you've enrolled your mom, you've enrolled your best friend, there's this girl from your office that you've got on board, you know, your cousin over here, he's a member now, and, you know, you've got these people in your life that have become members. And we have this really weird fear of making all of the relationships in our life transactional. We fear that by nature of what we do and by nature of our relationship with that person, that all of a sudden everything that we're doing has changed. And anytime we talk to them, that they're going to anticipate that we're going to talk about oils, and we anticipate that they don't want to hear about oils. And so we create this weird vibe where we're unwilling to have a conversation. And so I always jokingly explain it to my team, and I say, okay, so let's say that I've been on the email list for this other company, this other network marketing company, for like 10 years. And this girl is sending me an email constantly about her products. And it's products I might be interested in. So I leave it in my inbox. What happens is that noise of her being in my inbox, or if I were in her Facebook group, or if I got a text message, that noise in my life makes me think that I might actually have a relationship with her, even though she probably doesn't remember that I'm still getting her messages. And at some point I might make a purchase from her. And because we've had this ongoing relationship for all this time, when I make a purchase from her, if she doesn't acknowledge that I've made that purchase, I feel weird. Like, that's an actual weird thing when someone does not acknowledge that you've made that purchase. So if I buy this girl's can opener and she doesn't send me an email or a text or a snail mail handwritten thank you note for that purchase, now it feels transactional. It didn't actually feel transactional to me before. But now that I've begun purchasing and that purchase has gone unacknowledged, now I just feel like numbers to her. And so I really think that as Young Living leaders, we don't want to make all of our relationships, hovering around this whole, have you bought oils lately? Are you on ER? Are you doing this? We don't want that to be a part of who we are. None of us want to be that girl at church that everybody's walking away from because she always talks about product. But the flip side is, we swing that pendulum too far and we never thank people for their purchases. We never acknowledge that they've spent money. We never acknowledge that they've been on ER for a year and a half. And that's freaking awesome. And we need to be excited about that. And so we have to, instead of running away from transactional, we've got to run to the relational side of that. And I think the push and pull of all of that is where a lot of stars and senior stars and beginner builders get stuck, because somebody's made a purchase and then they're like, I don't know how to not make this weird, so I'm just going to not talk about it with that person, which means you're missing the opportunity to educate. You're missing the opportunity to follow up. Every other network marketing company that I've ordered from that I know of, that person, that distributor, can see what I've ordered. And so they can acknowledge, hey, I saw that you ordered, you know, this handbag, or I saw that you ordered this, whatever. And so there can be a personal conversation there. Well, with us, we have to ask. We don't know what they've ordered. And so we are afraid to ask because that feels weird. And it shouldn't feel weird. It should not feel, we are the ones who make it feel weird. We are the weird ones in the room, in the relationship, who make it all feel super awkward. And if we can somehow pull away from that and recognize that the strangest part is not acknowledging, that's also the exact thing that's keeping us from growth. Because the minute we start talking to people about what they're ordering and we start thanking them for that purchase and recognizing those people who are on ER and just bringing them in, that's when we start to see growth. Instead, we tend to focus only on the people who are enrolling someone else or who are sharing or who are doing those businessy things. And we play that game with those people. But the vast majority of our income is based just on simple product users, people who are just buying product and who are, you know, just overhauling their kitchen or overhauling their bathroom with product. And so when we don't acknowledge the largest chunk of our downline volume, we're just handicapping ourselves for the future. And I think that's where we see so much drop off over time.
That's great, great point. That, you know, 95% of our volume comes from people that they don't want anything to do with the business. They just want to do with the products. And then if you tracked, well, where do the superstars come from? Mm-hmm. Where do the one percenters come from? They almost always come from people that 2 minutes before they said, oh my gosh, I can do this. 2 minutes before that, what they would declare is, oh, not doing it.
Yeah. not doing it. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I tend to find statistically, like, the people who come in, for the business, you know, that like have that mentality tend to not have the most solid start because they don't understand how amazing our product is. And we're such a product company that that's the product. When that switches, that's when people come alive. And that's where those unicorns, you're right. That's where they totally yep. come out.
And yeah. then it's very authentic. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to back you up, as your last nugget. And so you, I can kind of anticipate your answer just from what you said earlier. So the person who you said, well, you can't be stuck unless you've done something. All right. I get that. But what if I haven't done anything yet? And then, so your solution to that was, well, just go out and roll some.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. I get that. But I'm one of those people who maybe I enrolled some people and they never did anything. Maybe I haven't enrolled anybody yet. Probably if I'm listening to this broadcast, I've enrolled some people and nobody did anything.
Right.
So what would you tell me? So whether I'm stuck or not, I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. And yet I want to do it. What would you say to me? And put it in the context, Aaron, that if I don't get moving, if I don't figure out this mental game, and we both know it's 99% mm-hmm. mental, if I don't get in action, then I become a statistic. I become a casualty.
Yep.
I become one of those stories that we're all too famous for. What would you say to me, the person who you'd like to say, well, just go enroll some people.
Right.
But that didn't work.
Yeah. So I feel like, all right. So, I mean, if you've enrolled anyone, you've done something and that's important. And okay. There's like 100 things I want to say right now. And I know you're like, okay, 30 seconds. That's not going to happen, but I'll try. So I feel like part of it also is, this is an activity I just had a bunch of my people do this weekend. Okay. Like I was like, take 30 minutes and analyze, who have you enrolled? Like even if it's just one person, if it's three people, who have you enrolled and how did that come about? I think we have to be really good at analyzing what we have done to understand where our skills are. Cause we always need to be growing, but everybody brings some skills to this whole business here. So where did you enroll people? And see, what I find so often is that, you know, they'll be like, well, you know, I enrolled my mom And I enrolled this girl that I share a cubicle space with. And I enrolled, you know, my kids, this other mom in my kid's school or something like that. And I'm like, awesome. How do you know those people? Those sound like people, you know, on like for real in real life. And they're like, yeah, man, but I'm just really working on Instagram. And I'm like, great. That's awesome. But statistically, it looks like so far you've largely been successful with people who have seen your eyeballs in person. So maybe let's work on that skill set right now. And you can make Instagram a hobby because that is not income producing for you right now. And so acknowledge that your social media game is not actually what's driving your business. And so I think that's where people get stuck because they're comparing themselves to people who do enroll a lot online. And they're like, well, I'm not enrolling a lot online. I got to really work on this. And I'm like, I know, but you had a class and you had six people in your living room 4 months ago. Why would you not do that again? That worked really well for you. Go back to that. And so there's just this, it's like we watch the unicorns, we watch the people online who are doing the big, great things, and that's fantastic for them, but it's not what's working for the majority of our teams. And so we spend so much time teaching things like social media and, you know, here's the 30-day social media challenge and prompts for this platform and blah, blah, blah. And like in reality, people are just needing to get belly to belly. They really need to just get people into their living room and not worry if their cat leaves dog, no, the cat would not leave dog hair, but you know, if their cat's in the corner or whatever, like quit worrying about getting everything clean and neat for it to happen and let it keep happening where it's already working. So, I think that past analysis is important.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I love that riff on the curse of social media because it's so glamorous.
Yeah,
and we think, oh my gosh, well, I can just sit home in my underwear and I can be famous and everybody will love me and I'll get all these likes and people will build my business. And yet, gosh, it would be really great if we had some hard statistics about what percentage of people that join Young Living join because somebody was prolific on social media,
right,
versus somebody was just real and authentic, mm-hmm, and asked their network, which is the people they know, if they
real people.
To look.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's 99% non-social media.
I would say too that I would love to see that stat, but I'd also love to see the stat of people who are still alive and kicking a year later in Young Living. Yeah. Like, where did they come from? Because I think even more so, we're going to see that it's real. Now, listen, you can make real life connection over the internet. A lot of my early enrollments were people here local to me, but I still enrolled them with my thumbs. That's how I built my business, was online. But they were real people I knew. Like, I saw them at church. We just also happened to have a relationship online. And so that's legitimate. I just think too many people are comparing themselves to all of that. Like, for example, I have 13,000 Instagram followers, and that's a lot. That would technically make me like an Instagram unicorn, but 12,872 of those people are already Young Living members. So that's not somewhere that I'm enrolling. I mean, occasionally I get one, I think there've been three ever. So it's not, that's not a platform where I'm growing my business. It's a platform where I'm just communicating, you know, and yep, we've got to learn how to dissect that a little bit better.
Yeah. Great. Great. So just for, to package it all, everybody can read your stats that surround this interview, but you personally enrolled about 75 people your first year.
Yeah.
And then you kept a very strong pace of mm-hmm. three or four people a month, all the way through Royal Crown Diamond. And that took you 4 years and sales are now $1.5 million a month. Your ER percentage is 40%, which is right on the money for Young Living. You have really extraordinary stats and a phenomenal story. Where are you going from here? And the reason I ask that question, Aaron, is one of the things I find in people and their ambition and the comp plan and ranks and comparison is some people love the process so much that they are just going to keep doing it for the love of what it does for their people and their team, mm-hmm. and for the love of the process. And some people feel a need to get off the merry-go-round and rest and create maybe a season of gratitude and reconnection and mm-hmm. refocus in their life. What's next for you? You've only been doing this 4.5 years.
Yeah.
You're crushing it financially. What's the next 4 years look like for you?
Definitely want to take the like fever pitch down a notch. my adrenals are telling me that I messed. But yeah, I mean, I think there's just, you can only sustain that like massive energy for so long before. And I just don't think it's healthy. I mean, I tell my team all the time, like I would love a million people who out the gate hit diamond their first year. I think that would be amazing. But in reality, I'm not going to expect anyone to do it because it's just massive speed and massive time. And so I want everybody to have like a fast, well-momentumed, reasonable pace of what they're doing. And I think I would much rather see that just for people's health and wellness. For me, I'm not done at all. I mean, I have not achieved my goals. I'm an Enneagram 3. I'm very goal driven, like I'm going to do the thing well. I'm going to do it well. And I'm not done. I still certainly have lots of personal goals, but more than that, and this goes with that shift I had in year two, I have so many incredibly close friends on my team who are not where they need to be that I can't be done. I'm not done. I'm not done with what I'm doing. It has way more to do with a couple of close friends and a couple of close family members who I have personal goals for, you know, that I want to see them do certain things for their family and for their future. And they want it too. So it's not just me encouraging them. They're on board. And that's where I'm at right now. So my focus right now is I do have personal goals. That's always good. But there are just some specific people who I'm linking arms with and we're running to some success levels as well. And then we have other passions. My husband is on the board for Hope for Justice and we're very involved with the anti-human trafficking stuff. And so just being able to have Young Living as a platform for us to do things that are like the heart things that matter the most to us, that's so incredibly crucial. So between my husband and my kids and that stuff, I'm pretty busy still, not slowing down.
Well, you have certainly discovered one of the secrets to harnessing your power and your passion, and that's to take the focus off of you and find it in other people and dig in and become the wind beneath their wings. That is a super, super secret of success in network marketing and avoiding burnout for sure. Mm-hmm. You have such an extraordinary story. Can't wait to meet you. We're going to meet actually in about a month, you and Kim and I. And we're going to find our way down to your hometown. Sorry, you're out of town while we're there.
I can't believe that.
Thank you so much, Erin. Beautiful interview.
You bet.
And thank you all for listening and tapping into Road to Diamond. The mission here is interview every diamond and above in Young Living around the world. That's going to take me the rest of my life because they're going to keep advancing faster than I can interview them. But the idea is to create a platform of rich resources for all of you to study the belief that comes from the stories that these incredible people have and also their stats. Stats and stories, that's what Road to Diamond is all about. So thanks for joining us. Until next interview, remember, the work is worth it.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. This could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's RUNTHRU RANK.com. We'll see you there.